Today we want to talk about a message I've titled Lifeline in Hope. And over the next couple of weeks, we will be journeying through the letter of John, not John's gospel, but 1 John. And so we began looking at that, and we basically walked away with just a very simple premise, a simple truth that all of us need a lifeline in our lives. When life throws its, and it will, as many of us have experienced, its curveballs at us, and we find ourselves on the floor, not sure where we can gain our footing to sustain ourselves and to move forward, we are reminded that, of course, the Lord is our immovable and always available lifeline. And if any of us are going through anything in our lives, even if you have walked with Jesus all your life, it is such an important reminder for us that we have a lifeline. And this is what John was pouring his heart in this final letter here in 1 John, towards the very last days of his life, probably in his 90s, and the final few letters that compose our Bible, our New Testament, even after Revelation. And so there's some important things that he wants to communicate to us. And I want to talk a little bit about hope this morning, starting in verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This is God's word. Why don't we bow our heads for a moment and pray together as we begin our time looking at God's word. Lord, you're about to speak some very powerful and poignant and necessary truths for all of us, no matter where we are in life and what things have happened to us this past week or this past month or year. Lord, your word, it is indeed the words of life itself. And so, Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. So speak to us today, we pray, Lord, as we hear from the aged Apostle John, as he pours out his heart in this love letter of concern to his children in the church there in the end of the first century. And here we are, Lord, in a different time, place, and space. And yet, we are in similar situations. And so, speak to us, we pray, through your mighty word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've often touched upon the critical importance of having hope in our lives. It's a theme that, perhaps because I'm a news junkie and I'm constantly listening to all sorts of news channels, online and on the radio and on the TV. And part of that is just my personality. I want to know what's going on in the world in all corners of the globe. And often you listen to news long enough, you can get pretty distressed and discouraged and wonder, is there anything right in this world? And I think it's very easy when we're in that reality where everything that is broadcast is negative and divisive and brings us down, that it impacts us. And often I think we who are the people of hope, we just celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who defeated sin and death and proved it to us. And yet, so often, followers of Jesus often forget that message, and we forget our identity. And we forget that, in addition to love, that hope is truly a partner and byproduct of the life that Jesus has given to us. And yet, so many of us don't often really have sustaining, transforming hope in our lives if we're truly honest with ourselves. And I'm speaking even of my own heart, as I am often weighed down by all that's wrong with the world and wrong with me. We all desperately need hope in our lives. And I really believe that God has created us and designed us to have and need a heartbeat of hope deep down inside. And John, as he looks out at his spiritual family and this fledgling church and the people of his time, he's the last surviving original disciple, apostle of Jesus Christ. He has heard news of all of his dearest of friends, one by one, slaughtered, martyred for the cause of Christ. He's the last one left in the final days of his earthly existence. And hearing of the battles, the fights within the church, the false teaching, the persecutions, the discouragement, the disunity, his heart was heavy. And yet, in the midst of it, he reminds us in verse 5 where we find our hope. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John is reminding himself, reminding the church in the midst of so much darkness, and consequently us here 2,000 years later, cracking open this ancient letter, and here we have these words, this message: God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is where we begin. This is where, in the midst of all the darkness that we are fighting and looking at our world and all the craziness happening on our nation's campuses this past week, as many of us have been weighed down, and all the personal troubles of your life, it stamps out hope. But in the midst of that, we turn and we listen and we hear of this aged apostle who was the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and he loved him, being with Jesus at the foot of the cross. And he reminds us that God is light. There is hope, my friends, always, even in the midst of darkness. But sadly, when we live long enough and we experience life, that hope, as I've shared already, often gets bashed out of us. But we are the people of light because God is light. And we are a people of hope, even in the midst of great darkness that we experience in our lives. But a lot of us this morning don't feel a lot of hope, if we're very honest with ourselves. I struggle with it myself. We just have this propensity to hold on to negativity and dark things, and we forget that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And if we have him, then we have his light that will illuminate through the thick darkness that often tries to creep into our souls and into our bones and squash the beauty of hope that our world desperately needs. And so John reminds us of that, that there is reason to hope, that as we are reminded that we all need a lifeline in our lives, and one of those lifelines is a lifeline to true, transforming, life-giving hope in the midst of your darkness. And yet, as we have heard that in verse 5, and it'd be very easy to say hallelujah, amen, and move on, John knows the hearts of human beings. He knows the struggles of the church. He knows our struggles. He knows our pain. And he reminds us in the midst of our struggle to connect with that lifeline that gives us true hope, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Hopelessness often comes, and he reminds us of this. And this leads to my first main point. We'll move through this quickly. We experience hopelessness when we walk in both light and darkness. For the church, for followers of Jesus, we can sustain ourselves by God's grace through all different kinds of challenging circumstances, through thick and thin. Because we are overcomers in Jesus. And yet, when true hopelessness begins to invade our souls, it is often when we forget our calling, our truth in God, our identity as children of light and hope and life. And when we begin to walk both in the light and in the darkness, you will begin to experience hopelessness. This is what John reminds us in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The word walk is a euphemism for all of life. It is your daily heartbeat. It is your relationships. It is everything. Understanding, the Jewish understanding of walk, it is your daily life. If we are believers, if we have tasted of the goodness of God and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And when we have this duality of living as a child of God and yet at the same time living in darkness, you will struggle with hope because this should not be. We certainly aren't saying that once you are saved that you won't ever sin again or you can get to that point. We've talked about that. That certainly is not what John is saying. And I don't think John is also saying, when we often read these kind of passages while we walk in darkness, we think of the deepest, most disgusting, dark sins you could think of. And certainly I don't live like that. So is that what John is really talking about when he says that if you say you walk in the light and you do, and you also walk in darkness, you are not practicing the truth. You will struggle with hope in your life. What is he talking about? Well, certainly the Bible does talk about the darkness of our behavior and sins, but I think it's a lot more than that. It is often our hearts that forget the Lord of life. When we forget that we have been redeemed and saved and have true life, it is when our hearts are positioned in such a way that we live like atheists. And we turn it on, we turn it off, we turn it on, we turn it off. And a heart that is without hope, a heart that is cynical and hardened and embittered and angry, is living in darkness. Just doesn't mean that we're doing horrific things in secret, disgusting things. We're not just talking about that, but it is the posture of your heart. And all of us are guilty of this, including yours truly. Shall I give a few examples? One moment you are resting in your Savior. You sense his love. He's spoken to you in your morning devotions. You're having good coffee in the morning and the sun is shining and things are going well and you are full of joy. And then the next moment, just 1 hour later, something happens, someone says something, someone cuts you off in traffic, you hit rock bottom emotionally, and you wonder, could anyone love me? Am I of any worth or value? Walking in darkness. It's not just about the deep, dark sins of heinous behavior, but it is about the posture of our heart. Relationships, we are loving and serving our family, our friends, our spouses, pouring out our hearts, feeling contentment and thankfulness for our loved ones. And then one of our kids talks back to us or does something and it triggers something. We become angry. How did I end up with this family, God? Woe is me. In just a split second, our hearts change. Walking in darkness. We have contentment and joy in one moment, and then something triggers us, and we become absolutely angry and upset with everyone, including God, though we don't often name him. We pour our hearts to our children, and they disobey, they dishonor, they lose their temper towards us. We're filled with anger and frustration and find very little love and compassion, at least for that moment, toward those little ones. And if we're really honest with ourselves, I believe that we can find lots of darkness there if we are understanding that it's really the posture of the heart that John is alluding to, not only in behavior. Even we who are believers will slip into walking in darkness. And when that happens to us, because that is not who we are, as Jesus has given us ultimate hope, when we are both children of light and yet we also walk in darkness, we will be absolutely miserable and we will lose our hope. It leads to discouragement and negativity. We find often ourselves walking in God's light and truth one moment, and one thing happens, and we're walking in darkness. We're not talking about losing salvation. Once you're a child of God, secured by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you're a child forever. I truly believe that. But John knows our struggles, and hopelessness comes when we find ourselves both living in the light, but also in darkness. And so John knows this about his dear children and the church, and he reminds them what has happened to them. And secondly, we're reminded that we find true hope only in a big Jesus. We find our true hope only in a big Jesus. Often, when we become so familiar with things, even with Advent season, Jesus is magnificent. He's shrunken down to this little babe in a manger. Even when we hit Holy Week and the cross and crucified, dead, and buried, rose again from the grave. Those are great things. But when it comes to someone upsetting me, when it comes to my heart being filled with hopelessness because of people in our lives that we care for, that hurt us, that wound us, or whatever you are going through in your life, we forget that we have a big Jesus. Verse 7 reminds us of this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, my friends, this is not just an offer of salvation for first-time people that turn to Jesus for the very first time. This is John, the aged apostle, writing to his dear children that have walked through trials thick and thin here at the end of the first century, decades after Jesus' appearance, his death, and his resurrection. Do we still understand that we have a big Jesus? Because if we forget that we have a big Jesus and we have a little Jesus, a pocket Jesus, a friend Jesus, and he is indeed our friend. But when we forget that he is the Son of the living God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we forget that, the power of his blood that is able to renew us and give us life once again often is forgotten in our lives. When our Jesus shrinks, the power of his blood loses its power. And so we need to be reminded over and over again that we have a big, glorious, powerful Jesus. And if he is who he truly claimed to be, then his blood has that mighty power to cleanse us and renew us and infuse hope even when we find ourselves in dark places. And this is what John is trying to communicate to the church. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not only for the first time, but our daily lived experience and reality. We often experience that and we move on and we're trying to figure it out when John says, no, return back to the big Jesus that you surrendered your life to, for his blood has true power to cleanse you of all sin. Not just for the first time, but on an ongoing basis, hour by hour, minute by minute. Who else can do that for us? Who else can forgive and restore and redeem and give us life and true hope? It is only King Jesus. Don't forget that we have a big Jesus. Because when we keep that in mind, we're reminded of who he is and the ongoing power of his blood to save, to rescue, to cleanse, to renew, and to infuse hope when often we don't know where to find hope. We have a big Jesus, y'all. And if we have a big Jesus, his blood has that power even today and can cleanse us, renew us, and give us hope. And thirdly and finally, as we think about that, we are invited to experience this hope daily. We often don't feel that we deserve or should experience this hope on an ongoing basis, and maybe once or twice a year, maybe during Advent season, during Holy Week, during a camp, during a Bible conference, during a particular Sunday service, or when you're doing your devotions, every once in a while, you feel that I could dare dream and hope about the future and about my life and about my children, about my grandchildren. But John is reminding us that this is not just a one-time event, but this is something that should be experienced daily in our lives. We are invited by God to experience this hope daily. And we do it through the grace of repentance and confession and drawing back near to him. Verse 9 is a verse that I've memorized and have learned from my youth and still continues to impact me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For those of us that have come to a place where we have decided to follow Jesus, we have been delivered from sin once and for all. We have been forgiven. But don't forget that this reality in verse 9 that we have right before us is also our ongoing calling, an ongoing reality, and part of our daily lived experience. Yes, I did understand that Jesus was big when I received him into my life as a child, as a youth, in my young adult years, in my adult years. But often, he begins to shrink. We forget about who he is. And we also forget how powerful that shed blood is that he gave to us and shed for us on Calvary. We are invited by John to consider that we need to be renewed by this Jesus, by this gospel, each and every day. And what does this look like? Every day, God invites us to take our hopelessness and exchange it for the hope that is found in the person of Jesus. Every day, every day. We often don't do that. We fight it. We try to figure it out. We try to find hope in other things. But this repentance, this grace that is given to us to cleanse us from our unrighteousness is not just a one-time act to become a Christian, but it is an ongoing call in reality for each and every one of us daily. This is grace renewal. We are invited daily to experience this hope on an ongoing basis because you and I are so good at getting lost and living without hope. And this is not how we are called to live. This is not who we are. Even in the most distressing and painful and discouraging situations, we find hope because of Jesus. And we turn away from walking in darkness through the grace and opportunity to be reminded of the bigness and beauty and power of Jesus and to return back to him. And he will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us from unrighteousness. This is God's invitation for you and I. The power of Jesus' blood and the beauty of the gospel, which is the heart of the Christian message, isn't just for the spectacular, painful, gross sins of our lives. But it is. Maybe even more so for the smaller, for the subtle, for the more hidden struggles and shame and darkness and sin that we wrestle with each and every day of unbelief, of anger toward God, of wondering, where are you, Lord, in the midst of challenging circumstances? And seeing this big and beautiful Jesus each day, John reminds us, is how we find strength and how we find hope. And so, my friends, as we have looked at this initial few verses here towards the end of chapter 1, we have been reminded once again that we all need a lifeline in our lives because life will throw its curveballs at us. And when we find the ground shaken beneath our feet, and when we are given into the temptation to lose hope, to become embittered and angry and skeptical, know that that is not who you are. That is not who I am. We have all are to be imbued with hope, and hope has to spill out because we have the Lord of life, the God of hope, and through the invitation daily that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to him. Allow your hopelessness to be exchanged for the hope that transforms. This is the message for both you and I and the church. In a time and in a culture where there is so little often to have hope for, the people of God are to be the ones that exhibit a transforming hope in our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, life is hard. And we turn on the news everywhere and we wonder, where is the hope, Lord? We are reminded once again through your word written by the Apostle John here in 1 John 1, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Oh Lord, forgive us that we have not walked in the light as we should have. Forgive us not just for the deep, dark behaviors of our lives, but the postures of our hearts that often are no different than the unbeliever. The cynicism, the anger, the hopelessness, the self-pity, the jealousy, the envy. Lord, we all wrestle with these things. And when we do, Lord, you remind us that it produces hopelessness. We are children of the light. We should not walk in darkness, but we do. But thank you that we have a big Jesus whose blood is eternally powerful, that can cleanse us and renew us and change us and give us life and hope once again. May we come to you, Lord, in a posture of repentance and humility. May we say sorry. May we once again embrace this opportunity to return back to you, Lord. Thank you because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one, the only one who was without sin. Your blood is powerful. We pray the efficacy, the cleansing power of your blood will be poured upon our hopeless hearts once again. And renew us, Lord, because in you there is no darkness. Thank you, Jesus, for that reminder today, Lord, for I know it has been a struggle for some of us here to have hope. We pray, Jesus, that as we turn our hearts back to you, that you will cleanse us as we repent, as we confess our sins of disbelief and anger and all the things that mark a heart that does not know you. Lord, help us to return back and experience the hope that you so desire for us to experience even in these challenging times. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.